May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the devotional I did on Azonors, but it blessed me, and so I thought I'd just pass it on verbally in this setting. This is kind of where I started, in the middle of this section between verse 12 and verse 18. And it says this, it says in verse 16, "But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, the liberty there is connected to the veil being taken away. So make sure, I've heard so many people explain what that liberty means so many times. Verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as mirrors," not in a mirror, but beholding as mirrors, "the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." He talks about being transformed into the image of Jesus. But before that, he talks about the veil being taken away. And that veil being taken away is the liberty that the Holy Spirit brings. And the whole context here is, if in verse 12 it says this. There's a bigger context, we don't have time for that, but "having therefore such a hope of glory that remains," not fading glory like in the Old Testament. "Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and not as Moses," who at some point didn't use great boldness in his speech, "who used to put a veil over his face, that the sons of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away." It's really important scripture. We know the story in the Old Testament about Moses getting in the glory of God, and the result of him getting in the glory of God, his face would shine. And the shine was so bright that when he turned to reproach the people, he would wear a veil so that their faces wouldn't be blinded by the light of God's glory reflected on his face. But that verse 13 says, there came a time when the shine began to fade. It wasn't as bright as it once was. And Moses continued to wear the veil because he didn't want them to know that the fading was happening, that the shine wasn't as bright as it used to be. This is sadly the way so many Christians live. They wear veils. And they live in the atmosphere of pretense. And the one thing they don't want to know, they don't want anybody else to know that they know, and somehow they think they cannot talk to the Lord about it because maybe he won't know, is how needy they are, how broken they might be, the struggle that they're dealing with, how utterly helpless and fallen they feel. The problem is, when you live your Christian life that way, it's crushing. Because that veil of pretense, the weight of shame that it carries and fear, is unbearable. When I first started walking with the Lord, when I was 23, I'd come out of the whole world of drugs and stuff like that, and I went to Bible college, I think I was 24 or 25, which was an eye-opening cultural experience. Because not everybody in Bible college had been part of church all their life, but most of them had. I mean, they'd been raised in church. You know, I had to cut my hair and shave my beard to start Bible college, and the only pair of pants I had a pop-top thing sewed in the thing so I could snap my pants, because I was an old hippie. But you couldn't have long hair or beard to go to school there. And so when I met them, when I was around all them, I thought, man, I feel like the dirtiest person in the history of the world, because they knew every hymn by heart in chapel. They knew all the right things to say. They just seemed so innocent and pure. But as the years went on, I worked for a ministry in Birmingham, so I did the whole like 7-year program to get through Bible college, part-time courses. As the years went on, and God began to do some transforming work in my life, And I got to know them better. The sad thing is that the vast majority of them had learned to fake it. That's what they had been taught in church. Whatever you do, don't let anybody know around you what's really going on inside of you, because you're supposed to be spiritual. But when you live like that, you feel ashamed and guilty all the time, but you want everybody else to think you got it together. And that's what's so cool about verse 16. He says, but whenever you turn to the Lord, the veil's taken away. When you live with veils on your face, when you live hiding and pretending and faking it spiritually, the one thing you don't want to do is face the Lord, because you're so ashamed. But that's the one person to whom you can face, because he's the one person who knows everything about you, and it's even worse than you think it is. I've told this story before. I remember one time this was so many years ago, we were starting an inner healing ministry, and somebody who was visited church a lot, sort of part of the church, rebuked me and said to me, we weren't qualified to do inner healing ministry, and we shouldn't even try. And it really hurt my feelings that we weren't qualified. And so I remember within a week or so, and I'd had about 700 imaginary conversations with this person if I got to talk to him again so I could straighten him out. You ever done that? And but I'm riding down the interstate going to Atlanta. I forget what I was going for. And I just said, the Lord, I can't believe that person said that I was unqualified. And the Lord said, it's worse than she thinks it is. And until you admit that, you'll never be qualified. He said, I know more about you than she does. But when you turn to the Lord and you find in his presence absolute, total, unconditional acceptance, when you look into those eyes of fire that Revelation speaks of, they're not the fire of condemnation. It's the fire of fierce, unconditional, passionate love for you. And in his presence, he takes that veil of pretense and shame and takes it off. And maybe for the first time in your life, like the woman, Mary Magdalene, Mary Bethany, who wept at his feet because for the first time in her life, in the presence of somebody who wasn't condemning her or wanted something selfish from her, just loved her. And she wept out seven demonic spirits in his presence. For the first time, maybe in a long, long time, she spent a few freeing moments, the liberty of not thinking about herself with shame. That's the liberty. That in his presence, we don't have to pretend. He knows more than you know. And it's only in our weakness that his strength is made perfect. Only when we come clean about our neediness and our brokenness and our fallenness and our utter dependence on him can we then start looking to his glory, his fullness to be released in our lives. That's why he says, and with unveiled faces, no longer pretending, no longer the shame, no longer the phoniness, no longer the faking, with an unveiled face, we can start beholding the glory of the Lord. And the word the Lord gave me this morning was this, is that because of his grace, we can be honest about where we are so that his glory can transform us to become who we are, image bearers of Jesus. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.